The time is 1 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Tay Kiche
and Abraham Donko.
Dead in Bimbila clashes with 17 arrests.
We have arrested 17 for now, and the death toll have increased from 2 to 10. The injured persons have also increased from 8 to 11.
Director General of GBC, Dr. Anof Into, says with financial support from government, GBC will boost its coverage and operations. Volta River Authority and two other companies to generate 350 megawatts of wind power by 2020. And Nigerian President Buhari's office allays fears of the seriousness of his illness. News commentary expresses concern about the lack of the spirit of patriotism among Ghanaians. Stories in our bulletins can be accessed via our website on gbcghana.com. You can also get through to the Radio Ghana newsroom on WhatsApp number 0560-266-551. And now the details. Reports say an easy calm has been restored to Bimbila, with economic life returning to normal. But the death toll in the recent clashes has risen from 2 to 10. With 11 injured. The public relations officer of the Northern Regional Police Command, ASP Ebenezer Tete, who confirmed the death toll, also said 17 people have been arrested. ASP Tete told George Ankra in an interview that investigations are ongoing and those arrested would be sent to court.
We have arrested 17 for now, and the death toll have increased from 2 to 10. The injured persons have also increased from 8 to 11. So that is the current situation as of this morning. Because yesterday it was impossible for the security agencies to move in due to the sporadic and indiscriminate firing. This morning, when the situation died down, the security agencies are moving, and that accounts for the more bodies that we have retrieved now, and then the injured persons that we have also found. So the injured persons have been sent to the similar government hospital. While the deaths are at the Bimbila Hospital morgue.
How would you describe the atmosphere generally? Because early on, I heard you saying that you were hearing firing in the outskirts of the town.
Yes, that was yesterday in the night and also in the wee hours of the night. But this morning, everything has died down. There was a reinforcement from Tamale, both police and military, and their presence have also contributed largely to help to contain the situation.
Are you now satisfied with the nature of the control mechanism you have put in place? And what would you want to predict? Are the people ready to smoke the peace pipe?
That would be the best way forward for everybody, including other persons who are there, who are not part of the problem. Business cities and persons who are coming from several parts of the country who are applying their trade and their businesses there. As indicated yesterday, life was returning gradually to normalcy in Bimbila. Economic activities and other activities were returning, but for the unfortunate incident that happened yesterday, as it is now, the curfew hours has been revised now. It is now from 4 p.m. to 6 a.m.
So what are you doing with those you have arrested?
Those you have arrested, after investigations, they will be processed for...
For how long would you want to keep them whilst investigations go on?
They can only be in our custody for 48 hours.
ASP Ebenezer Tete is the PRO of the Northern Regional Police Command. Still on the same story on Bimbila, the Registrar of the Northern Regional House of Chiefs, Kopori Abudu, says the President of the Northern Regional House of Chiefs, Yagbonwura Tutumba Boresa, has expressed sadness and deep regret at the renewed clashes in Bimbila. He has therefore appealed to the factions and the people of Bimbila traditional area to put down their arms and let peace prevail for the dispute to be settled once and for all. Mr. Abudu spoke to George Ankra.
The Yagbunwa has expressed a hard record on this issue because a lot of lives are getting out of hand. And Yagbunwa indeed is expressing his sadness in relation to this frequency matter that has come up at Bimbila. And Yagbunwa, as the president of the Northern Region House of Chiefs, is appealing to all to support and bring this issue to an end so that lives will not be lost. Indeed, he's sharing his sadness in this regard. Yagbunwa is putting himself together to meet his other overlords in the northern region to take a decision and bring this matter to an end.
Why have they waited for all this time? Is there any reason?
It is not that the chiefs of the northern region are staying away from this issue. They are working at it, but we are all in a human society. Whilst we are working at something, and other people are also working at it in a different angle. Yagbunwa and the chiefs of northern region are indeed working at it. That notwithstanding, we still have these challenges. They are not sleeping over this matter. To put down their arms for the purpose of peace to prevail in that area, while our chiefs, government, any other person who is a stakeholder in this matter, come up with ideas to solve this issue once and for all.
On whether the chieftaincy institution is still relevant in view of the numerous disputes relating to chiefs, Mr. Abudu said the institution is relevant because of the important roles chiefs play in the social, economic, and cultural life of the nation.
Chieftaincy as an institution is a novel, a very important area that we need to embrace and try to educate our chiefs to stop this violence and come together as a family.
The continuous violence and clashes seems to defame the nobility of chieftaincy, and people are now thinking that if this will continue and the chiefs cannot put down their foot, then it means the institution is no longer relevant.
Other people will hold the view that chieftaincy, looking at the current terrain, is not relevant. But I, on my opinion, I still hold the view that chieftaincy is very relevant and revered, of course, because if you want to change where we are coming from, we have to talk about chieftaincy. We have to talk about our tradition. We have to talk about our culture. Like I said, it is now left on to us to educate our people to understand and put systems in place to address issues of chieftaincy. Most of these challenges that we encounter are issues that are emanating from who owns this particular land, who owns this particular tree, who owns this particular, or who is legitimate to become a chief of this particular area. These are the challenges that are into chieftaincy, and I think with the support of any other government that comes, let's try to help chiefs to put systems in place so that everything will be clear in the face of us.
That was the Registrar of the Northern Regional House of Chiefs, Kupoli Abudu, in that interview with George Ankra.
And away from that, the PRO of the Motor Traffic and Transport Department of the Police Service, Chief Inspector Simon Penku, says it is a normal practice for trained national service personnel to direct traffic unaided. Speaking to me earlier, he said the personnel who are taking through vigorous training are stationed at areas with low traffic volumes. Chief Inspector Penku indicated that the department reposes confidence in them, therefore there is no cause for alarm.
These national service personnel you see on our roads were taken through vigorous training as far as traffic management is concerned. In fact, we built their capacity to manage such situations, even though in most instances you see them with normal police officers. But we believe their capacity is such that they can, especially areas that the traffic volumes are not all that huge, they can help bring sanity on our roads.
By what people are seeing on the roads in some places, it means that the personnel are well trained and capable to handle the situations.
I must confess, yes, those you see on our roads are all trained and they are capable of managing the situation. But for the mental reasons, areas that we realize is quite huge or is quite complex, they are always there with a trained police officer.
Chief Inspector Penku also threw some light on the service's agenda for this year. According to him, the service will focus more on pedestrians and how to ensure their safety.
The police administration has taking note of the numerous deaths recorded in especially build-up areas in the cities, Accra, for example, and we strategize to make sure jaywalking is also enforced. That is where pedestrians abuse the use of the streets or the road. Crossing anyhow, refusing to use flyovers or pedestrian flyovers, and the rest. So this year, the focus will also be on jaywalking to make sure pedestrians adhere to the basic laws regarding the roads. I would just like to advise the whole motorist public to ensure defensive driving and safe usage of the road is encouraged, because statistics have shown that we are losing precious lives on our roads. And the earlier we all come together and make sure our roads are safe, I think it's better.
Chief Inspector Simon Penku is the PRO of the police MTTD.
The Information Minister designate Mustafa Hamid has hinted that his ministry will collaborate with the GBC to enable it to raise its own funds through the revamping of the collection of TV license fees. This is to make the GBC financially independent like the BBC. Mr. Mustafa Hamid stated this when he appeared before the Appointments Committee of Parliament.
I think that it is important that we work towards making GBC a BBC, if you want, where it is able to raise its own money, be very independent of government control and so on, even in terms of subvention and so on, so that we can position it as a global player in the international industry.
Jalan, I don't know about now, to refer to the nominee. The problem with GBC, and for that matter GTV, is they largely survive on TV license fee. And at some point, the cost of wanting to take the license fee was more than the fee itself. Do you have any innovative ways to assist GBC, GTV to make appropriate recoveries of their legitimate fees from the Ghanaian people?
The Director General of GBC has told me that they have some digital platforms in place now that would allow people to pay their license fee through their mobile phones and from the comfort of their homes and so on. Inshallah, when you allow me to be minister, I would go and look at what it is that this digital platform is about. And of course, with technology, I believe with that we can explore innovative ways of making it easier for people to pay. I guess it is the hassle of going to look for payment points, which would also be why people may not be paying.
The minority leader Haruna Idrisu sought to find out from the information minister designate his commitment towards improving the quality of pictures on GTV in some parts of the country. In Bole, Mr. Mustafa Hamid said his last meeting with the Director General of the GBC, Dr. Kwame Akufo-Addo in Togo, revealed that GBC started a modernization program in 2007, which has been implemented. He added, when the program is fully implemented, TV signals and picture quality will improve.
Thankfully, the GBC has started a modernization program from 2007. They have it in six phases. They've done up to phase four. Their hope is that if we complete phase five and six, it would help to improve the quality of signals that people receive all across the country. And so, fortunately for us, during the transition process, when we received this information, we made representations to the now Minister for Finance that in this year's budget, he should approve some money for the completion of the phase 5 and phase 6 of the GBC modernization effort. It looks like he likes the idea. So we are hoping that in the budget arrangement, if he puts in money for phase 5 and 6, it will solve the problem that you are talking about.
You heard the information minister designate Mustafa Hamid.
Meanwhile, the Director General of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, Dr. Kwame Akufo-Addo in Togo, says with enough financial support from government, GBC will be able to complete most of its projects to help boost its coverage and operations. Speaking to Radio Ghana on the sidelines of the vetting of the information minister designate Mustafa Hamid, Dr. Mofintu promised the corporation's commitment to work closely with the Information Ministry to advance the cause of GBC and the nation as a whole.
Well, it's difficult to see at this point whether what is outlined is enough, but at least you are in a position to say that the problem has been diagnosed. You'd understand why there was a lot of emphasis on GBC, because we are the national broadcaster. We have a duty to perform within a democracy, and so as a cultural institution, we have a certain mandate that everybody looks forward to as part of the democratic apparatus. So the question of access to information is a critical one, and that is what this whole question of digital migration beyond the technology, that is what it boils down to. The nature of the information, who is responsible for the information, and how it is accessed. Those are the critical questions. And I think that the minister in his response drew attention to those. As we get along, you can understand what are likely going to be the challenges, which are essentially financial. But the conceptual arguments around it as to who should have access, who should control it, and all of those are pretty clear. So I would say that at the level of policy, it is understandable. We know where we are going, what we should be doing. So those two phases are essentially driven by technology. Between you and I and other people, staff members who work at GBC, the emphasis is going to be preparing them to be able to own and take over in terms of the management and the repairs of those facilities. So pretty much a lot depends upon government's capacity to give us the funding, because it's part of a complete project. And as the minister designated said, government, we are inclined to feel that government is going to give us the money that's going to eventually make it possible for us to complete the project. And once that is done, most of our problems are going to be dealt with. As he said, part of that confusion is that there's a limit to how commercial you can be as a public service. So we do not even have the capacity. We do not have the capacity to generate that kind of revenue. So as a matter of course, it is government which has to fund that. And we cannot go for a loan and then pay it back. I mean, that's what the plan for now. For now, the plan as it sits is that 4, 5, and 6, government is going to fund that. And in principle, government has agreed. It's just a matter of getting the resources and releasing the resources for us to complete the project. It's unlikely, because a lot of it also depends upon building infrastructure, buildings, having a studio completely equipped, laid out, and all of those, you know, and before you even install the equipment. So it's the building of the facility alone, I'm told, will take about 8 months. And we are talking about 52 million euros. So it's not money, it's not chicken feed. It's money that government has to plan and release, you know. So I don't foresee that happening immediately. But it's encouraging that at least in principle, there is some recognition that we need to complete that project, and the government is working towards that.
Director General of GBC, Dr. Kwame Ekufu Anofinto.
Two minority MPs, Kwabena Minta Akando and Ernest Nogbe, have filed a writ at the Supreme Court praying it to declare the appointment of Minister for Gender, Children and Social Protection, Madam Otiko Afisa Jaba, as null and void. One of the applicants, Kwabena Minta Akando, who spoke to George Asekere on a current affairs program behind the news, said the main reason for the court's action is the fact that Madam Otiko Jaba did not do a national service, which is mandatory under the law.
We are seeking to invoke the original jurisdiction of the Supreme Court to give us the true and proper interpretation of some of the provisions in our Constitution and by extension in the one of our statutes, specifically Act 4-6, which is the Ghana National Service Act. We think that the nomination, vetting, approval, and the subsequent swearing in of Madam Ujaba, something went amiss. We didn't follow due process. We think that there was a breach of the provisions of the Constitution and a breach of statute. Therefore, I think the proper forum to go is the Supreme Court for proper interpretation of the law.
So after interpretation, what do you seek to achieve?
Well, we have a number of reliefs. We are praying the court one to give the proper interpretation, which of course will be a precedent so that the brouhaha over whether or not somebody's national service will come to a close. And then we are also praying the court to restrain Madam Ujaba from conducting herself as a Minister of State, not until the final determination of the matter. And we are also praying the court for Madam Ujaba to go back and do her national service.
Madam Otiko Afisa Jaba has explained herself time and again as to why she didn't do the service. She completed school when she was about 47 years, and other reasons have been given. And we know that there are law to be qualified as a minister, you should be qualified as a member of parliament. I'm not too sure if there's a law asking members of parliament to do national service before they go to parliament. And so by extension, why will you be pulling her legs?
First and foremost, if those reasons had satisfied us, we wouldn't have been in court by now. That's number one. Number two, because the matter is properly before the Supreme Court, I'm very careful going into the merits of the matter. And so if you think that they have any justification whatsoever, they'll produce those justifications before the Supreme Court.
That was the NDC MP for Dwabuso, Kwabena Minta Akando.
Former Acting Executive Director of the National Service Scheme, Dr. Michael Pesa-White, is calling on all the more than 200 service personnel whose appointments have been revoked to seek legal intervention. Dr. Pesa-White said due process was followed in appointing them, hence he will lead the legal crusade and provide the necessary evidence to back the case. He spoke to George Asikri.
I was the one who was charge of the place for the last 2.5 years. So I had a lot more information that I can still support them, the ambitious of the managing the place. I am at all the receptors or all the staff that guys have just fired to go to court. We will all be there to produce documents. I want to believe that I will offer myself as a witness at any given time when that process, so that we will go into the matter and whether the process that I've just is proper or not.
You will be a party to any legal action?
I am saying that I will available any of the persons who want for a lawyer to call me as a, because the last thing I want to accept is to assume that whilst I was there, I did not use utilities. I think that that speaks from my integrity.
Former Acting Executive Director of the National Service Scheme, Dr. Michael Pesa-White, reacting to the threat. The Deputy Director of National Service Scheme, Nana Buanchi, said the threat by the former CEO of the service to go to court over the revoked appointments will be a waste of time and resources. This is because the move is unlawful.
All the things he's saying, if you, if anybody at all is misled by this advice of Dr. Pesa-White to go to court, that person will be wasting his resources and get his time. Because whatever he's saying is not grounded in law. And as I've told you, everything that we have done, it has been carefully looked into. It has been thoroughly pinned on the law. And the decision is firm.
All right.
Now, there will be an opportunity for them to come up again. There will be advertisement for any opportunity. But as with those appointments have been annulled.
Nana Buachi is the Deputy Director of the National Service Scheme.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana here in Accra. The major stories. 10 dead in Bimbila clashes with 17 arrests. Director General of GBC, Dr. Anof Nto, says with financial support from government, the GBC will boost its coverage and operations. Volta River Authority and two other companies to generate 350 megawatts of wind power by 2020. And still to come, Nigerian President Buhari's office allays fears of the seriousness of his illness. We'll be right back.
Are you a professional from the private or public sector or an HND holder who wants to further your education? You have no cause to worry at all. The College of Distance Education of the University of Cape Coast have brought university education to your doorstep. Programs available include diploma and degree in commerce, management studies, psychology, maths and science education. Entry requirements, WASI, SSCE, GCEO and A-level certificate. Applicants who do not meet the specified requirements can gain admission into the program when they pass a mature student entrance examination to be organized from 18th February 2017 to 7th May 2017 at selected centers across the country. The cost of scratch card for admission and prospectus for direct admission into the diploma and degree program goes for 180 cedis for Ghanaians and $100 for foreign nationals. Admission forms for mature students goes for 250 cedis for Ghanaians and $120 for foreign nationals. Applicants can buy scratch cards from the study centers using bank drafts only payable to the College of Distance Education, University of Cape Coast, and drawn from any of the following banks: GCB and ADB. Scratch cards bought from the regional and district branches of Zenith Bank, Prudential Bank, Unibank, and Ghana Post should be by cash. Application forms are available at the College of Distance Education, University of Cape Coast, UCC, Accra office, Sesame, all branches of Zenith Bank, Unibank, Prudential Bank, and all regional and major district offices of Ghana Post, regional offices and study centers of the College of Distance Education. Closing date of sale of application form is 4th March 2017. UCC College of Distance Education, bringing university education to your doorstep.
Register and pay your TV license fee anywhere, anytime. You can still pay your TV license fee at all GBC regional and district offices nationwide. There's also a standby TV license mobile collection scheme for corporate institutions and religious organizations. You can also pay your TV license at any of the Ghana Tourism Federation and Ghana Hotels Association regional offices nationwide. For inquiries, call 056-1100800 or 056-1100900. Any person or corporate body who contravenes the law commits an offense and is liable on conviction to a fine or to a term of imprisonment or both. Avoid embarrassment. Pay your TV license fee now. Remember, paying your TV license is your civic responsibility.
Tune into GBC Radio anywhere.
92.1 Ghana Vision Radio always gives you the best. Nothing but the best to make you know the magic of radio. Radio Apartment giving you the best. 91.1 giving you so much fun. Radio Apartment 91.1.
Euro Radio, 89.7 MHz, AMP 93.7 MHz, Radio Central, 92.5,
91.3, 94.7 MHz, and 88.1 MHz.
Tune into GBC Radio anywhere. Unique FM Accra 95.7.
Ogbonutema 96.5.
Sunrise Kofobia 106.7.
Volta Star Hall 91.5.
And Radio Savannah Tamale 91.3.
Welcome back. President Akufo-Addo will deliver his first State of the Nation address on the 21st of February 2017. Our parliamentary correspondents report that the Speaker of the House, Professor Michael Kwei, disclosed this while reviewing parliamentary activities for this week and the next. We have on the line one of our parliamentary correspondents, Dominic Nogi, to update us on happenings in the House. Good afternoon to you, Dominic.
Good afternoon, Abraham.
Well, talking about this very issue, the State of the Nation address, what other issues have transpired, you know, in the House or on the floor of the House?
Okay, today there is no vetting today. The appointment committee is not sitting today to vet any nominee. The House, the chamber itself is working as I speak, and the majority leader or say Chairman Sabunso, in reading the business statement for next week, talked about the fact that the induction seminar, which began 2 weeks ago, will continue this weekend for honorable members who did not participate in the previous program. The induction program is for the MPs who have just been elected, and they need to school them on the practices in the House. And so the induction seminar will take place this weekend at the Capital View Hotel in Kofobia. And so, apart from that, the House also there was a statement on the 180th anniversary of Wesley Girls Senior High School, a statement made by the Honorable Member for Etua East, Abena Ose Asare. There was another one on road safety that is presently considering.
Very well, Dominic, thank you for joining us this afternoon. That was our parliamentary correspondent, Dr. Logi.
The Volta River Authority, VRA, and two other companies, Upstream Wind and Electra, are putting structures in place to generate about 350 megawatts of wind power by the year 2020. A deputy director in charge of renewable energy at the Ministry of Power, Seth Mahu, who disclosed this to Radio Ghana, said the ministry is putting in place plans to secure areas with potential wind energy through executive instruments. Joyce Yuchi has more.
Wind energy is among the renewable energy sources like solar, biomass, and small and medium-scale hydros. The ministry has a policy that by the year 2020, 10% of the country's energy should be from renewables. To achieve this, the Energy Commission is giving out solar panels for free to interested people who will bear the cost of installing the equipment. Though not much is heard about wind energy, a Deputy Director of Renewable Energy at the Ministry, Seth Mahu, says three companies have advanced in plans to generate wind power.
Upstream Wind is a private developer that intends to develop between 225 megawatts to 300 megawatts of wind power. We have Support Sea and other initiatives, and they have been able to, as a result, sign a power purchase agreement with ECG for the first 150 megawatts. We also have VRA also working on developing up to about 150 megawatts of wind power. There is also another company by name Electra, which is also developing a 50 megawatt wind power around the Adan area.
He talks about what is being done to secure lands at potential wind power areas.
We're looking at putting in place structures that will enable us secure the resource-rich areas. For instance, if you take Sege, development is catching up with Sege, and if we don't secure areas in Sege where we think we have good wind resource, we may lose that opportunity to other development considerations such as real estate. In the long term, we would want to secure through executive instruments some of the potential areas.
Winneba is said to abound in wind energy, but nothing concrete is being done there now.
So Winneba, what is happening there is basically resource assessment, which the ministry in collaboration with the Energy Commission is doing.
That was Seth Mahu of the Ministry of Energy in that report by Joyce Chechi.
The executive director of the UNAIDS, Michael Sidibe, has challenged Ghana to do more to fight HIV and AIDS in the country. According to him, the vision of UNAIDS to eliminate it by 2030 is achievable. Hence, all governments must endeavor to make good use of funds given to them to fight the disease and also improve healthcare in the sub-region. He said this when he paid a courtesy call on President Akufo-Addo at the Flagstaff House in Accra.
We cannot talk about fighting against HIV/AIDS without all those ingredients. AIDS has been able to show us only one thing. When you are not inclusive, you are losing. When you are not transparent, it's not working. When you are not thinking about redistribution, you cannot win because you don't reach people who are left behind. And we have been fighting to make sure that we change completely the paradigms of dealing with this epidemic. Since I took over 7 years back, what I did is to say that it's not just about disease, it's about people. It should be people-centered approach. We need to really think about how we use AIDS as an entry point in our continent to deal with other issues. And I was pleased when I came in Ghana to see someone who was a private sector trying to really produce those drugs those days, but it was very difficult. And I want to really ask you to think about the future of our biggest market, ECOWAS, how we can come together, how we can have a hub of excellence, how we can start producing those medicines. It's a huge, huge market globally, and it will be one of the biggest. I want just to say that your leadership on pushing and making sure that we can have a better industrialization and particularly producing those medicines are key. We are using this opportunity now to push a new agenda by ending AIDS by 2038. We need to be ambitious and to have a dream.
In a response, President Akufo-Addo said his government is committed to reducing the spread of the disease in Ghana. To this end, he has charged the Minister for Health to commit more funding to fight the disease in the country.
The development of our pharmaceutical industry, especially the local manufacturing and production drugs, including the antiretroviral drugs, is a key commitment of our party that we made as part of the whole program of industrial growth in our country. We're going to make a determined effort in these 4 years to try and reverse the structure of the Ghanaian economy. And we've chosen the pharmaceutical industry as one of the key growth points in the program that we have. So the advocacy for more local involvement in producing the drugs that deal with this and other diseases is something that falls squarely within our own plans. To that extent, it's important to have your endorsement. 2030 is the end of the year. I don't see that as unnecessarily ambitious. We have to be ambitious. I think that if we're just going to go away and just rubbing shoulders and just going up and down, it's not going to help us. As I say, we're going to be able to count on Ghana. The idea that in the ECOWAS region, 3 out of 4 who are subject to the virus don't have access to treatment, that is a totally unacceptable set of facts.
Yeah.
Totally unacceptable. And I think that whatever is required to be done to improve those statistics, it's incumbent on us to do it. These are not also statistics that can be allowed to just fester as statistics on paper, and every now and then you meet and you say, oh, there is a requirement that we do something about it and change so that the statistics can get in a better direction. And Ghana's leadership in this matter within ECOWAS on the board are things that we're going to take very seriously.
Excellent.